Hey everybody, I'm Weldon Barres.
And I'm Katie Black.
And we both want to welcome you to our four-week online Bible study. We lasted this, when was it?
I think it was Advent, so it was at the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Or that century that was 2020.
Yeah, that's right. So we're excited to be doing it again. Be each Wednesday at 12 noon on Facebook and the church website.
Yes, so all the Wednesdays in February, come in, log in at noon, and watch us. Facebook, website, podcast, wherever you get your streams, this is where we are.
Yeah, and you would do us a big favor and help to promote it if you would share the live streaming.
Absolutely. If you have a Facebook, just hit that share button. And also, as we go through this, we're asking questions, and we want to hear from you. So leave a comment, and we'll be looking at those throughout the week, and we want to kind of respond back and see what you have to say, too, because we know some things, but we don't know everything.
We don't know everything. We can certainly learn from you as you can learn from us. We learn collectively. So please do post comments, and please do share. So, drum roll, our Bible study for 4 weeks is on...
That's not a good drum roll at all.
No, but it's a good. It was a good effort.
It's on Jonah.
On the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. So, we want you to do this as we do this Bible study. We want you for sure to get your Bible. Old Testament, it's one of the minor prophets.
Mm-hmm. We'll be using the NIV version, the New International Version. But if you have another Bible that's handy, use that too. We like to see what words come up that are different.
Mm-hmm. So get your Bible and follow along with us as we read and discuss God's Word together. So I'm excited about this four-week journey into the book of Jonah. Jonah has four chapters.
Absolutely.
And theoretically, we'll do a chapter a week, but...
Yeah, about a chapter a week. We might have a little bit more, a little bit less each week, and so it'll be 4 weeks, and we'll cover the four chapters.
Yeah. And it's our goal then for the two of us and for all of you joining online to read the book of Jonah, not once, not twice, but several times in this mm-hmm. little four-week journey that we're doing together. It's not like reading War and Peace. It's an easy, short read.
I want to say the longest chapter is 16 verses, so you mm-hmm. can read the whole book in less than 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we'll read it several times, and we'll read it carefully and closely.
All right. Reverend Katie, would you open us with prayer?
Let's do it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask for you to open up your scriptures to us so that we can hear your word, what you have for us today. Let us hear from Jonah. Let us hear from you. Let us hear from these pages, and may they come to life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jonah is such an interesting character. Most people know the story of Jonah.
Right, right. So it's one that kind of comes up a lot in when you're a child. It's a good vacation Bible school story. So a lot of people, if you've been a Christian for many, many years, you probably have heard of Jonah.
Yeah, because he's swallowed by the
big whale,
the big whale,
fish.
Yeah.
Whatever you were told in your Sunday school class, that Jonah. I mean, it's a very visual story. You can mm-hmm. see somebody being swallowed up mm-hmm. and running away from God.
Yeah, it starts out with Jonah running away. Mm-hmm. If you were running away, mm-hmm. if you were on the lam as such, mm-hmm. where would you go?
Okay, so this can't be held against us in a court of law, right?
No, there's no record of you saying this.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's not recorded.
It's not being recorded or forever.
I here's my plan. I took French as a child from like fourth grade to through college a little bit. I've lost a lot of it. But I bet if I move to some small village in France, I could hide out there for a little while and pick up the language and try and hide out in France for a little while. So some small village in the south of France.
It's pretty good. That's the food's good.
Mm-hmm. Food's good. Mm-hmm. Can be quiet. Mm-hmm. Do a little something.
Mm-hmm. Initially, you know, you kind of think if I'm on the run, I'm going to go to Mexico.
Go to Mexico.
It's easy to get there, except there's one big problem. I don't speak Spanish, so I'd really be at a loss. So I guess I'd go to Canada. Somewhere up in the Rocky Mountains and hide out up there.
How cold can you take?
That would be pretty cold.
Don't be on the lam for too long.
Don't be too
long. Be on the
yeah.
lam in the summer.
Yeah. And a second question, kind of introductory question. Mm-hmm. Jonah was asked to do something, and he said no.
Not today, yeah. not ever.
What's something that you were asked to do that you didn't want to do? And before Katie answers, you think about that. What's something that you were asked to do, a job that you were instructed to do that you did not want to do it?
So I was, many, many years ago, I was a camp counselor at Wiskatchetta Retreat Center, and one of my jobs, I guess I was just one of the counselors with the strongest stomach, and so when a camper had a tummy issue and they were what the whale does to Jonah eventually.
Not well.
Mm-hmm. When they were not well, I was the one who was sent in to both comfort the camper and also to be the cleanup crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for many, many years. To this day, they still, this is a fun fact about me, when there's a camper who is throwing up, they call it a Code Katie Black.
Code Katie.
Like on the walkie-talkies, they call it a Code Katie
We have a Code
Black,
Katie Black.
That is my legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get to choose our legacy, so I am the code for a child growing up.
Congratulations.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to make a little note in your file.
Yeah. Please do. What about you? What was it?
Mine has to do with camp, too. Yeah. I directed junior high summer camp for 25 years. And one summer... there was a kid that just was not cooperating, didn't want to get up and go to breakfast, was disrespect, everything, and he just had to go home. And after giving chance after chance after chance.
You had to send him home.
So, yeah, I had to go and tell him, I'm sorry, man, but either you get out of bed or you have to go home. Mm-hmm. And he said, send me home. So
that's a tough position to be in.
I really, really didn't like that all. Mm-hmm. So I hope that you can think of a job that you were assigned to do and you just didn't want to do it because it puts us in the shoes of Jonah.
That's true. So let's talk about some of the logistics of the Book of Jonah. So this didn't come up in my vacation Bible school class, but just the who, what, when, where, why, how type questions.
Yeah, Jonah. The title is Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious first question is, who wrote the book of Jonah?
We don't know. So we're starting off well on this. But
We absolutely don't know.
We don't know. Tradition has said that maybe Jonah wrote it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's the case, Jonah would be talking about himself in the third person. So it's Jonah went.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say I went.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that doesn't mean Jonah did not write
right.
it. Because like... first five books of the Bible are attributed to Moses, and that's all in the third person.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to write about yourself in the third person. Right. But it's just tradition says Jonah. I'm okay with it being someone else, or I'm okay with it being Jonah.
Absolutely.
So when was it written?
We sort of don't know that either, but we have some clues. We know that the city of Nineveh, which is where Jonah was told to go, eventually is destroyed in the year 612
BC.
612 BC. So 612 years before Christ, Nineveh was destroyed. So we knew it was before that. Most people will say somewhere around the 8th century BC. So about 800 years before Christ was born.
Yeah. I don't know if that's important to you at all, but Katie and I just find it interesting to try to find around the date that a particular book is written. And the one thing, as Katie said, that we know is the city of Nineveh was destroyed in 612 BC. And so it has to have been written before that event happened. So sometimes before 612 BC.
And we have one other clue about when it was written, and that's by jumping to another book of the Bible that talks about Jonah. And so it might surprise some of us to know, it surprised me, to know that Jonah is not the only book in the Old Testament that talks about Jonah.
Well, tell us about the other place where it's found.
So this is one that I know we all are reading pretty frequently, the book of 2 Kings. So 1 Kings and 2 Kings, I know you make that into your daily Bible study readings. In 2 Kings chapter 14, Jonah is mentioned in verses 23 through 25. And I'm going to read it.
It's a tough few verses.
Let's put on our seatbelts here.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Okay, it says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, the king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria. He reigned for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which caused Israel to commit. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, all right, but seatbelts are still buckled, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher.
So it pinpoints him at a particular place in time.
So in between this king and this king, mm-hmm. Jonah was the prophet for this king. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we kind of get that 8th century is from tracing the lineage of the kings too.
Okay, and reading the book of Jonah, let's think about the main actors, the main characters mm-hmm. in the book of Jonah. Right. So let me ask you, watching on the internet, if you were making a list of the main players, who would you put? Let's name them. Who's one?
God. God shows up in the book of Jonah. He's a speaking, talking character.
From beginning to end, mm-hmm. God is present.
Right.
Okay. Somebody else, obviously, is Jonah. Mm-hmm. Jonah's the main character.
He's the prophet.
Yeah, he's the prophet Jonah. Mm-hmm. Who else is there?
You've got a big fish or a whale.
Okay.
Who doesn't speak that we know of.
Plays a big part.
But plays a big old part in the story.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about him in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody else is the Ninevites, the occupants, the population of the city of Nineveh.
Mm-hmm. Another one is there are sailors on this boat. When Jonah runs away, there's a bunch of sailors on the boat, and they have some back and forth when the storm comes up, and they're all in a big panic. So we've also got the sailors.
That figure is very important. And then you have the king of Nineveh,
mm-hmm.
who ends up at the end repenting.
Right, and getting all of the Nineveh to do the same. Mm-hmm. So we've got several characters here.
Interesting to think about the characters. Jonah is a story that people seem to know.
Yes.
And has figured in popular culture. And we're going to mention just a few places where Jonah is mentioned in popular culture, either now or some years back.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, I read Herman Melville's book, Moby Dick. Have you ever read Moby Dick? This is quite a read.
About that reach around.
Oh, man. Moby Dick was a great book. But towards the beginning of the book, it mentions a preacher who's given a sermon, and in the sermon he talks about Jonah and the fish that swallowed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's prominent at the beginning of Jonah.
And it's kind of foreshadowing because they share a similar character in common in that book.
Definitely. How about Pinocchio?
So Jonah shows up in Pinocchio. If you remember, I think it was in the 1940s when that movie came out. Pinocchio is on the island, and he's trying to escape and not become a donkey, and so Jiminy, I think, helps get him off the island, but at the same point, Geppetto gets swallowed by a whale. And so Geppetto is stuck, and then Pinocchio goes into the whale as well to try and save Geppetto, and he makes the whale sneeze, and he sneezes them both out. So there's Jonah is a pretty unique story, and so someone being swallowed by a whale, you know they got that. From Jonah.
Yeah. What else?
There's one of my favorites. So I'm a little bit of a comic book nerd. I didn't grow up with comic books, but I like the movies. The Avengers, that first Avengers movie, they're in New York and the aliens are coming in. And Tony Stark, who is Iron Man, is trying to figure out how to get rid of the alien. And it's a big, big alien. And he asks, do you know the story of Jonah? And they said, I wouldn't consider him a role model, sir. But Tony Stark's Iron Man idea is to go inside the alien, inside this big beast, and start shooting from the inside out to destroy the alien. And so he becomes swallowed again. But he directly says, you know Jonah?
Mm. Okay, so in the Avengers. And then VeggieTales, of course, tells the story
of Jonah.
Right, so
if you grew up watching VeggieTales, they always do a lot of Bible stories. One of the more popular ones is certainly Jonah.
Okay. Let's think about geography for just a second, as to where it takes place.
Yeah.
There seem to be three major geographical places in the story of Jonah.
And they're pretty spread out.
Yeah.
So when Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh is, if you remember back to grade school when you were thinking about Mesopotamia, and we've got a picture up here, Mesopotamia, it would be just north of Mesopotamia. So it's in kind of that central birthplace of the civilization area. And then you have Joppa. And Joppa is a port city. And so this is where Jonah will try and make his big escape from. So.
Yeah. Joppa is modern day Jaffa, which is real close to Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And Katie and I both had the privilege of going and seeing modern day Jaffa and remembering Joppa.
Mm-hmm. And so Joppa comes up a couple times in the Bible. Once here with Jonah, he leaves from Joppa. And then in the New Testament, you'll see Simon Peter going and staying with Cornelius, I believe, at the house of Simon the Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to go and see that house.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other city is Tarshish.
Tarshish,
where he's
yes.
taken off and going the opposite direction,
yes.
and we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And if we have that map up, you can barely see those three cities on the map because they are very, very far apart. And so we'll talk about those locations coming up.
Okay, that's our introductory material, and we hope we haven't bored you too much with that. But it's important to kind of just set the table and to have a little understanding of who, what, when, how, where, why, and
Absolutely.
That kind of thing. So let's open our Bible then to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And again, I do hope that you have it open with you at home. And we're going to read a little bit at a time, and then we'll talk about it. And again, we're reading from the New International Version. Katie, why don't you read for us, please, the first two verses.
Okay. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.
As I read that, several things kind of jump out at me. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so important as we read Scripture to let things jump out at us.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why, and I'm sure you do the same, Katie, all through every Bible I read, it's underlined. There are question marks, there are exclamation points, because different things jump out at me. These are the things in that very first paragraph that jumped out at me. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. I have to stop right at the beginning and say, what does that mean? The word of the Lord came to Jonah.
So we see this a couple of different times in the Bible where it says, the word of the Lord came to, the word of the Lord descended, the word of the Lord spoke. And we don't know exactly how this came. Was it a proclamation from the skies? Was it something that was written down? A lot of times you see some back and forth between God and prophets, and we don't know exactly what that looked like, but we can use our imagination.
Was it a whisper in his heart?
Yeah.
And in some way, the word of the Lord came to Jonah.
And it says, go to Nineveh and preach against it.
Yeah, go to the great
city
of Nineveh.
Yeah.
So it's acknowledged at the beginning that this is a big city and it's a great city. Mm-hmm. But don't just go to the city and be a tourist and see the sights, but go and preach against it.
Yeah. You like to preach against people and things and cities? I don't know that I've ever preached against a city.
Yeah, or a person. That's something very uncomfortable, awkward. Goes against who we are, really. And I think that was part of Jonah's problem.
I think so, too. Yeah. Well, and then there's the explanation. It says, because it's Nineveh's, because its wickedness has come up before me.
God said, go to the city and preach against it, in parentheses, preach against the sin. The wickedness
right.
that has come up before God. Okay, so that's verses 1 and 2.
And I love that this is verse 1 and 2 because it there's no, once upon a time there was a man named Jonah. It just says, the word of the Lord came and said, go and do this. We jump right in.
Right, jumps right
2 feet in.
Next two verses, verse 3 and 4. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord.
Okay, so now is, I think, that time to talk about the map. So on the map, you've got Nineveh way up. You've got Joppa kind of in the central, not too far outside of Jerusalem. And you have Tarshish. Tarshish is where? Near Greece?
Yeah, in Spain.
Spain
yeah.
area?
It's in modern-day Cadiz, Spain.
Right. And at that time, it probably would have been one of the furthest places west that we knew about.
So that they could travel to.
He is literally trying to go to the edge of the world
and
maybe fall off.
As far away from Nineveh as he could go.
Mm-hmm. And Joppa's kind of the central part on this, so Nineveh is to the east, and Tarshish is far to the west. Nineveh is, you can get there by land. Tarshish, you have to go by sea. And so he's taking, I'm not going by land. I'm going to go a whole nother means, whole nother direction. Where it's up, I'm going to go down. If it's left, I'm going
to
go right.
Yeah. It's like if God spoke to me and said, I want you to go to Miami and preach against Miami. And then I get on a plane and I go to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. The complete opposite direction. Yeah. That's what Jonah did.
And maybe you take a boat through the Panama Canal to get there.
He ran away from the Lord. And it begs the question that I ask you, not expecting you to answer, and I ask of you, expecting you to answer in your heart, and for me to answer in my heart. Have you ever run away from God? God has whispered to you to do something, and you have run away? You ever done that? What was that experience like?
Or maybe even just asking, have you ever struggled to follow through with what God has asked? Have you ever heard something and you said, I know God wants me to do this, but how? Sometimes we run, but sometimes we struggle with it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Jonah probably struggled and then decided to run.
Yeah, I know of many pastors who felt called to the ministry and they said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And they ran away from mm-hmm. their call mm-hmm. from the Lord. And then years later, they said, yes, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then became, and others for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And it's not just with the call to the ministry. It's whatever God is calling you to do. Yeah. We sometimes run.
And this is something that we don't always think about or recognize, but God does call you. It's not, God doesn't just call some people. God calls you. God calls people who have said, if you have said, I am with you, God, God is going to put a call on your heart.
God has something for you to do.
It might not be what you think it's going to be. It might not be something, but it is work for God's kingdom, and it is on your heart. And so maybe you've been pushing something down that you didn't know was there, or maybe you didn't know that mm-hmm. something that was on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But listen a little bit, because God does call us.
God does call, and I would say all of us have been Jonah. All of us have heard mm-hmm. God whispering for us to do something, and we've run the other direction.
Absolutely.
And we can learn from the story of Jonah, because mm-hmm. Jonah ran from God, and we do.
Yeah.
All right, let me continue. Let's see, it's your turn now, Katie,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'll do verses at least, let's do 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship.
Well, that's something that we could really visualize. Mm-hmm. This storm comes upon the ship as it's sailing. Isn't that a frequent thing in Scripture?
Just a storm comes up. And you know, I never read the Bible story where it says, and it started raining a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a violent storm just comes on in.
Yeah, I mean, this paints the picture. A great wind.
Mm-hmm.
A violent storm. The sailors were afraid. Cried out to their gods.
And I notice it says the Lord sent the great wind. A lot of the storms in the Bible are just, they seem to just kind of happen. But this is very clear. God is behind this violent wind. And I can think of one other story right off the top of my head where God sends the storm, and that's in the story of Noah in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
Where the rains come, and that's clearly God sending the flood.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a couple others. Let me know if you can think of one.
So the violent storm comes up, they're freaked out, and then continuing with it, with the second part of verse 5. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down, and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Isn't that amazing that Jonah is sleeping?
That's a little familiar, isn't it?
It really is. It makes us think about the story of Jesus
mm-hmm.
when they were on the Sea of Galilee and the violent storm came up and he was
and
taking a
Jesus?
Nap.
He's taking a nap on mm-hmm. the boat. I don't know what else much to say about this, but there's clearly a connection here of sleeping on a boat in a storm and somebody coming to wake you up and say, fix it, basically.
Yeah.
What, you know, call on God and fix this. There's a lot of differences between Jonah and Jesus, but Jesus makes reference to Jonah.
He does. There is a similarity here. Mm-hmm. Something else I think this says, though, is that this storm was coming Jonah, he didn't care. Mm-hmm. He goes down below deck into a deep sleep.
Yeah.
That says to me that Jonah was so depressed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was so bummed out that he's now in this deep sleep, even with a violent storm all around him.
I agree. I think in the New Testament, you're going to see Jesus sleeping, and I think we can very much point to Jesus being at peace. And Jonah is not at peace, clearly. He is conflicted. He is in turmoil and probably just depressed and exhausted.
Yeah, and I think that's evidence of that.
And he has just fallen asleep.
All right, let's do 7.
Okay. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah.
Can you visualize that? All the sailors get together, and it's like they're throwing dice or something like that, and this is their way in their mind that they were going to determine who the guilty party is. Mm-hmm. So they're casting dots, and boom, it's Jonah.
Mm-hmm. I always think of it, I know they're throwing dice, but I think about it almost like in drawing straws. Whoever has the short straw is the one who's responsible. And so the lot falls, and they go.
Yep.
All eyes turn.
The spotlight is now on.
The camera pans over. Yeah. Yeah.
All on Jonah, who was in this deep sleep, and now he wakes up in the storms, and now everyone blames mm-hmm. him. And continuing with the story, verse 8, so they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" I'll go ahead and read the next mm-hmm. one too. He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land."
So we're in the interrogation room. The spotlight comes down.
He's sweating bullets.
Yeah. And who are you? Where are you from? Who do you serve? What is this? What's happening?
Okay, so now he fesses up. Mm-hmm. I'm a Hebrew. Now, he's not ashamed to say that he worships God.
Right.
I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.
He just admits to his own mistake here, I think. Because God is telling him to go across this land, to go to Nineveh, and he says, "Well, I'm gonna beat you, God. I'm gonna go by sea." And then he says, "I serve the God of the sea and the land." You didn't do a very good job, Jonah. He made that sea.
Yeah.
You can't outsmart God.
Yeah, like the blame is really on him now. Mm-hmm. Let's read 10 through 12.
Okay. It says, "This terrified them," the sailors, "and they asked, 'What have you done?' They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, 'What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?' 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea,' he replied, 'and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you.'"
So these big, strong, tough sailors are terrified. Mm-hmm. What have you done? And then I do like how it says he had already shared with them he was running away from the Lord. So they'd had this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think in my mind, I like to imagine it as, you know, as you're given that it said, you know, he paid for passage onto the board. What are you doing? "Oh, I'm running away from God." "Well, okay, come on."
Yeah.
I imagine that's his boarding conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a lot of time to talk on these voyages.
Yeah, that's true. And the sea is just not going to work. But they say, you know, the lot fell on you. The responsibility is on you. What do we do for this sea to calm down?
Yeah, they ask him, uh-huh. "What do we do?"
Yeah.
And then he says amazingly, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Mm-hmm. It's almost like Jonah has a death wish.
We were talked about him being depressed earlier, probably exhausted. I think he's also feeling really guilty. And I think he's in that moment in which you're busted and you just know you deserve the worst.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in that feeling like when you're the kid driving in the car and your mom pulls over the car and slams on the brakes and you go,
yeah.
And they pulled that car over? I think Jonah's in that moment.
Yeah, I think so too. He's depressed. He's running from God. He's at the end of his rope. Just kill me. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for my life to end.
Yeah.
Throw me overboard.
And then he says, the sea will become calm. That's how it's going to happen. It's my fault. So if you eliminate me from this problem, you'll be okay.
So the question as we continue next week is, what happens to Jonah? Mm-hmm. The die is cast. He says, throw me overboard. what's going to happen to Jonah? And what's going to be the end of the story?
Right.
Want us to think about why, and we won't answer it now, but
we've got some whys.
Some whys for you to think about for next week. First, why?
Why Jonah? Why does God want Jonah, this prophet, to go and do this?
Obviously, Jonah did not want to go.
Right.
Why did he pick Jonah?
Why is he picking him? Yeah.
Yeah. Second why is why Nineveh? The world was full of wicked and evil, sinful cities. Why is God highlighting? Yes. Why is God highlighting Nineveh?
Mm-hmm. And then another why I want to know is, why does Jonah run? So I think we're going to get an answer at some point. But also in chapter one, we want to put ourselves in the shoes of Jonah and say, why is he running?
He obviously was gifted.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to communicate and share his faith effectively, and we'll talk about that next week.
Right.
But yet, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh and preach.
Right.
Why? So those are the three whys, and think about it. Why Jonah? Why Nineveh? And why did he run? All right, so draw a line in your Bible, if you feel comfortable doing so. Right at verse 13, and we'll pick it up next week with verse 13 as we continue the exciting story of Jonah. Thanks so much for watching today. Please share and add any comments.
Yeah, and come back next week and we'll continue the story. We're looking forward to it.
Wednesday at 12 noon, and Nathan will also be archived, right, where people can watch it anytime afterwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious God, sometimes we run. Sometimes we don't listen. And sometimes we don't even know why. Lord, speak to us on our hearts and give us the courage to listen and to follow. And give us forgiveness and mercy when we forget to follow, when we fail, when we mess up. Gracious God, we ask all of these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. See you next week. God bless you.